Millions of people follow the comments of celebrities or world leaders or friends on Twitter. Perhaps you've heard of it. It's an online news service, a social networking service. It was founded in 2006. Tweets, those messages that go out, are limited to 140 characters. One source I consulted for today said that there are 328 million people worldwide who follow Twitter at least once a month. A lot of famous folks are tweeting, and millions of followers are following. Others follow not posts or tweets, but directions. You have a GPS. You can't live here without a GPS these days. The newest app, if you haven't heard of it, I know, cutting edge. Here you go. It's called Waze. Those of you that use Waze not only know that you have found the way, but you try to convince the others of us to download that app so we join you in that truth. Waze now has 65 million users. And what it does is it's the people on earth working together to outsmart traffic. The more people that find out about it, the more traffic you're going to be in. I think the app is well named because we all want to find and follow the best way to get to where we want to be, don't we? In order to get where you want to go in life, you've got to ask a few questions. Where am I now? Where do I want to be? What do I need to do to get there? David Bartlett was my preaching professor in college. He's now retired. He's up at Yale University kicking around, teaching here and there, enjoying their really strong insurance program, he said. He said, I'd like to live in the South for retirement, but the insurance at Yale is so good, I've got to live in New Haven. I digress. David Bartlett said to us, don't you ever use the pulpit for promoting church programs. The gospel is so much bigger than any one program the church is promoting. Well, he's right, but let me just promote this one program. Disciple Class. Mary Dantzler is the dean of Disciple Class, and Lisa McKimmy is the assistant dean. It's a Bible study that is 24 weeks long. It has you reading daily, starting in Genesis, and by the end of the year, you've completed Revelation. You've read the whole Bible, or much of it, and it's a great 1.5-hour class. It gets you in touch with one another, getting to know each other better on the spiritual journey. It gets you much more confident and appreciative of Scripture. And Caitlin Phillips teaches a Sunday afternoon class. I teach a Monday morning class. For you, tuition is free. You might consider that to jumpstart your spiritual journey to help you along the way. Those three valuable questions. Where am I? Where do I hope to go? How do I get there? Very helpful, very helpful. And I was thinking about those questions as we hear Jesus say, He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. Following in His footsteps, we walk as He gave example and as He instructed. We might ask Him, Lord, I have many decisions to make in my life. I have a lot of opportunities before me. I was thinking about high school students and college students, about majors, about careers. I talked to one young woman who's about to move to Charlotte for her first job out of Georgia. We have so many opportunities, so many life-making, life-shaping decisions before us. Lord, which way should we go? And Jesus says, come to me and follow after me. Ask me for what you need, and I will give it. The way for God's people is Christ. The truth for God's people is seen in Christ. The life that we are invited to live is a life without fear and a life of peace. A life that has eternal reward and a life which has even now inspiration and guidance. I came across the name of Freeman Hrabowski as I was reading the papers this week. Freeman is the president of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Freeman was first arrested when he was 12 years old. Do you want to know his crime? He was participating in a civil rights march in Birmingham, Alabama in 1963. He had heard Dr. Martin Luther King speak, and he and other school children walked downtown to try to meet with the mayor to talk about the segregation in that city. And Bull Connor and police dogs and fire hoses were used to turn those children back. And then the children were arrested. Some of them released after one day and then arrested again a second day. Freeman Hrabowski is now a college president, even with a prison record. Last week, the New York Times interviewed him. They said, "Freeman, what did you learn from your parents?" He said, "My parents told us explicitly, and they told us often, things in life aren't fair." Freeman learned from a young age that doing the right thing in this world, or taking the road to freedom, or working for justice in peace, or speaking the truth, these things can get you persecuted, can get you in trouble. The interviewer moved him beyond his childhood to where he is now, sitting in a president's office, and says, "What advice do you give kids these days? What do you tell your college graduates as we approach graduation season?" By the way, I love graduation season. It's the only time of the year when the rest of the world dresses like Presbyterian preachers. All of a sudden, we're in style. With all the pomp and circumstance, Freeman says this to them: "Nothing takes the place of hard work, students. Nothing. I keep coming back to that. Our country makes a huge mistake when we tell some kids they're smart and other kids they're not so smart. No. I find that the only effective way to educate and the only effective people are those who never give up, who keep working and keep working at it." Freeman says he tells his students, "The world is not always fair. The world is not always fair. Get over it. Develop some thick skin. Be resilient. Be persistent. And you keep working hard at being the best you can be." I wouldn't share his advice unless I agreed with it. In the gospel narratives, Jesus says to any who will hear him, "Follow me." We live in a world of Twitter, a world of Waze, a world of American idols. We're asked to follow a lot. How do you hear that still small voice of truth leading to life full and everlasting with so many competing voices and with so many bad choices that we make? Have you ever made a bad choice? Some paths you and I take aren't so good, are they? Some paths we choose lead to pain, lead to destruction, lead to heartbreak. After something bad would happen in my life, my father would say to me, "What, did you learn your lesson?" Paths we make by God's grace aren't dead ends, but we're given second chances and 77th chances. I believe the path to riches will not come through state-sponsored lottery. Oh, maybe a few lucky people. But hard work is the best way to accomplish your goals. I believe the way to solve your problems is not with booze or pills or avoidance. I believe the way to solve your problems is by going directly to the source and honestly speaking your truth. I believe that the best direction for your life should not be determined by what's trending now, but by the truth that you are a beloved child of God and you belong to a family of faith and the riches of heaven are yours. Don't do what's popular. Don't do what's profitable. Don't do what's easiest. Do what's right. Jesus invited his friends and his followers to follow him, and they had a good question: "Where are you going?" And he gave them another invitation: "Come, come and see." What that little exchange tells me is that the process of journeying with Jesus is as meaningful as the final destination. It's a process of discovering how God is present and where God is leading, even as God is with us on the way. Yesterday morning, I had the privilege of going to Agnes Scott College for their graduation. Heather and I adopt Agnes Scott students since we've lived in Atlanta through the AMI program. Pardon me, David Bartlett, but that AMI program, you ought to sign up for that. There are international students from all over the world, and they think Americans are all like the movies. And this is an opportunity to say, no, we go to soccer games, we go to church, we do the dishes too. Would you like to walk the family dog with us? It's a really meaningful program for those students. Our students have been from India and Nepal for the last 4 years. We got to meet their parents. They're launched. One's going to London. One's going back to India to work in a business. It was a joyful day at Agnes Scott. The highlight, though, for most folks there, was the speaker. Did you hear? Oprah Winfrey was the graduation speaker. All of a sudden, I had the hottest ticket in town, an Agnes Scott graduation ticket. You're welcome. I took a few notes. Oprah said, I realized when I turned 30 years old. You ready for this? This is the most famous and one of the richest women in the world. I realized when I turned about 30 years old, my whole life was a prayer. My whole life was to be an offering for God. My whole life was to be about service to other people. And once I realized that, it took me a while. Once I realized that, everything changed. Dr. Martin Luther King, she quoted, said, not everybody can be famous, but everybody can be great because everybody can serve. Oprah must have known that we were going to be hearing Jesus say he's the way, the truth, and the life. She must have known the lectionary reading this week because she went on to say to those young Scotties, when you don't know what to do in life and when you have to ask lots of people for their opinions about what you should do, stop asking them, sit down, take the time to be still, connect with God who is your source, and you will be shown the truth. Oprah said to one of the more secular campuses in the country, the most important thing about your life is your spiritual practice. Nurture what's at your essence. Nurture what's at your center. Connect that self with God. Be still so you can be filled with God's truth. If you don't, you will burn out. And if you don't fill up, you will have nothing to give. A life of substance, said one of the wealthiest people in the world, is not found by accumulating things. It will not be found by having lots of shoes or cars or houses. They will all leave you feeling empty. You will find a substantive life only by serving others. And the legacy you leave behind you will be all of the lives you've touched. In all honesty, Oprah said, I haven't mind having riches because I do have some awesome shoes, but I'm telling you, eventually, follow me, the Savior said. The way that I offer you is the way of life, life as it ought to be lived, life in its fullest, life without fear. Trust the teaching I've given you. Continue the good work I've started among you. Come and see where I'm leading you. If you need anything along the way, just ask. Thomas scratches his head and said, Lord, how can we follow you when we don't know where you're going? How can we be satisfied when you haven't shown us the truth of God? And Jesus says, I am the truth of God. I have shown you the face of the Father. I am the way for you. I was about 3 years old, maybe I was four. It was winter, which means I got to wear my favorite piece of clothing. In fact, I miss some of those camel's hair coats and tweeds that we depended upon in the northern climes. I had a wool coat. It was plaid. It was brown. It was green. It had a fuzzy collar. It wrapped around with big buttons on the sleeves. I called it my bear coat. There's a picture of me standing in my bear coat with a state park of snow behind me waving at the camera. I'll give you the moving picture version. The park is blanketed with about a foot of fresh snow. A 3-year-old boy, awfully cute in his bear coat, is smiling and waving and then turns away from the camera and starts walking into the great beyond. Where is this boy going? We do not know. Is he alone? He appears to be. His head is down. His feet plow through the snow, which is up to his knees. This boy is on a mission. The camera captures him at different angles. How does it do that? Soon he's walking away from the camera, then he's coming toward the camera, then he's from this angle, then he's from that angle. One thing is for clear, his cheeks are more and more red every time the camera gets on him, and he's not walking in a straight, easy line. The path is meandering around this park. The next camera angle we get is from the base of the tree, right there at the center of the tree, looking outward, where branches of pine hang down with snow on them all the way to the ground. How did the camera get inside to the tree there? We don't know. But the videographer now looks out. And beyond the branches of the tree, out in the daylight, maybe 30, 40 yards away, here comes a 3, maybe a 4-year-old boy wearing a handsome bear coat, approaching the tree. What in the tree does he see? Why is he heading in that direction? Is there treasure? Are there noises? The child looks up, the child looks down, and continues plowing along. More rapidly and confidently he comes. Finally, one of the tree branches begins to move, and the snow falls from it, and in pops a head with eyes that finally recognize the destination, and the boy falls into the arms of the cameraman, his father. Next, mother appears. Do any of you remember those frosted hairdos that went up really high? Mother looks in too. How did she get there? She apparently has been following the same footprints that the boy was following. And there is a happy reunion at the destination. Apparently, mother had been with the boy all along. Well, the truth is, for troubled hearts, Jesus desires to give peace, desires to give guidance, promises meaning, encourages us to good works, and he brings friendship to lonely souls. And so if you ever find yourself asking friends, which way? What do I do now? The Savior says, just be still and listen for that voice of truth. Come to me and follow in my way and know that I'm with you every step of the way. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.